Truly staggering events lie just ahead in world affairs. The great God of creation is beginning to intervene. A prophesied great tribulation will soon occur. In my last program, I described just what is the great tribulation. But who will bring about this enormous national punishment on our peoples? And what can you do to ensure your deliverance and the well-being of your loved ones? You need to know. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, who will cause the Great Tribulation? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, the real Jesus Christ of your Bible is a dynamic personality sitting now at the right hand of God the Father. Together, they are preparing for the coming world-ruling government or kingdom of God on this earth. Picture the starving millions of human beings all over the world, my friends. Picture the horrifying wars and massacres in Asia, Africa, and all over. This world desperately needs God's government. This world desperately needs the direct rule of Jesus Christ, which the Bible clearly prophesies. Your Bible clearly describes this coming time. Notice Revelation chapter 5. Those of you who have a Bible handy, go get it. Check up on us. Be sure you prove these things to yourself. We want you to get familiar with this book we call the Holy Bible, so you can live by every word of God. Revelation 5, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9 in this powerful prophecy from Jesus Christ. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you, obviously Jesus Christ, were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." The saints will reign on this earth under the reign of Jesus as King of kings and Lord of lords. Other kings will be under him, but he will be King of kings. This world really needs God's government. Think about it. Now this world is in rebellion, and they're rebellion against the God of the Bible. Over and over they break and smash his laws. Yes, even America and the British descended peoples are in rebellion against God himself. For we're continually smashing the very laws of the Creator, the Ten Commandments. Our crime rate is up. Our use of illicit drugs and the misuse of alcohol is way up. Our sexual sins are rampant. Our continuing murder of millions of unborn children is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. Our peoples often profess belief in God. They talk about God. They talk about the little Lord Jesus. But they will not obey the God of the Bible. And they will not follow the example and teachings of Jesus, whom they profess to believe in. And the true living God is about end with that, about added up to here, as we say. He will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 at this point. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "But know this," Paul writes, "that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God." Boy, does that describe what we're into. More fun, fun, fun. That's all people think about today, most of them. "Having a form of godliness." Oh, they talk about God. Many of them go to churches and they sing and they holler and they carry on, or they go through sort of stated rituals in other churches. But they don't really study the Bible, and they don't really follow the teachings of Jesus. And they don't fear and have an awe of that great God to guide their lives. Yes, they have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Turn away from false religion. God tells us over and over. Notice down in verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Most professing Christians don't study any persecution. You know that. They go to mainstream churches and they go where it's socially correct to do so, politically correct. Nothing out of the ordinary is taught. Nothing out of the ordinary is practiced. The minister does not condemn the sins of this society. Generally speaking, he does not understand prophecy at all. Probably doesn't even preach about it. He doesn't grasp the whole purpose of human existence. And of course, the brethren in the church never understand that. They're never taught that. They have no chance to learn. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Things are not going to get better, I'm sorry to say, until the coming of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. They're going to grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Picture the porno shops and the vile movies and internet presentations affecting our young people. Picture the drug addicts and how they literally blow their minds and wreck their lives. Truly, ours is a pleasure-mad society. And most of you understand that if you'd be willing to think about it. Again, God is not mocked. We need to know what God says about these latter days and what's going to really happen. Turn with me to Jesus' Olivet Prophecy, this time to Mark. Mark chapter 13, verse 4. And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Are you taking heed to that? Could you be growing up in mainstream religion, the broad gate, the wide gate that leads to destruction that Jesus talks about? "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled. The end is not yet." Then he describes nation against nation, and then world wars, kingdom against kingdoms, and then there will be earthquakes, vast earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and disease epidemics. These are the beginning of sorrows. Notice verse 9, "But watch out for yourselves, true Christians, for they will deliver you up to councils. You'll be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings." You won't just come there for a pleasant visit. You'll be brought, probably brought in chains before kings and governors for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. These things are going to happen leading right up to Christ's coming. Now notice verse 19. "For in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of creation, which God created to this time, nor ever shall be." Boy, what a statement that is. A tribulation so great that has never been like that since God created the earth from the very beginning. The greatest time of trouble in human history. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. Complete cosmicide, the destruction of all human life off this earth. "But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days." Turn back to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47, of course, Jesus quoted from the book of Isaiah, indicating it was inspired of God, which it certainly is. Notice Isaiah chapter 47 and beginning in verse 1. "Come now and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone, grind meal, remove your veil, take off your skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance. God will punish this modern Babylon." But my friends, first he uses them to chasten us. God uses different nations for his purpose. And we must not get mad at those nations or those people. They are being used of God. In the Bible, God speaks of my servant Pharaoh. He said, "Nebuchadnezzar, my servant," whom he used to punish ancient Judah. Nebuchadnezzar was used by God because God was doing the chastening, and he uses human nations to do this. "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go to the darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans," this modern Babylon, "for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. This is a great false woman," and the woman is used as a symbol of a church throughout the Bible, as in Ephesians chapter 5, The church is called the affianced bride of Christ, and as a woman is to submit to her husband as Christ is the head of the church, and the church submits to Christ. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The church is indicated to be in the place of a woman. You find it in Revelation chapter 12, where the true church, the woman, had to flee at the time of the end to a place of safety. So here is a great false religious system. O daughter of the Chaldeans, called the Lady of Kingdoms, a church that has got all mixed up in this world's politics. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance. I have given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly, you lay your yoke very heavily. And the term yoke is used as a yoke of slavery again and again in the Bible. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. No, the people in this foul system don't understand. They are deceived. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, God describes how all nations are deceived. Look it up. Turn back in 1 Chronicles now, chapter 5, verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Yet Judah prevailed above his brethren, and from him came a ruler, the coming Christ, although the birthright, God repeats, was Joseph's. My friends, because of our absolutely disgraceful conduct and our mounting sins, the God who gave us these blessings are taking them away from the United States and the British descended peoples. And we're going to bear the brunt of the soon coming great tribulation. To help you understand this and prove to yourself the details of this coming tribulation and who brings it, I invite you to write for a most revealing booklet entitled The Beast of Revelation. This is a powerful booklet, my friends. You will be enthralled, frankly, at both the biblical and historical information in this very exciting booklet. So call now and request your free copy of The Beast of Revelation, this booklet. Just ask for the booklet on the beast.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. You will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World magazine.
Now back to our topic. We are definitely the birthright peoples, as I explained in previous programs, and as our booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain, thoroughly explains. Be sure to call or write for that booklet if you've not yet done so. Now let's review Isaiah 47. This is a key verse that can help you understand what's ahead. Isaiah 47, I'm going to pick up the story full this time in verse 5. Sit in silence and go to the darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance. God's inheritance is Israel, and we're called the lost 10 tribes of Israel today. But God is profaning us because of our sins, as I've explained, and given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily, and you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else beside me. This modern Babylon says, there's no one else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But God says, these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries. This modern Babylonian system is in false religion. They're influenced by the devil and his demons, and God calls it sorceries by the great abundance of your enchantments. So they've been indulging in spiritism and false religion in contact with Satan. The Lady of Kingdoms described here is exactly what is described in Revelation 17 and 18, my friends. It's amazing how God just puts it there, then he describes it more fully in the end time setting in Revelation. Turn to Revelation 17 now at this point. Revelation 17, verse 1. Then, John writes, under God's inspiration, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot," or the old King James Version. I'm reading the New King James. It says, the great whore who sits upon many waters. What are these waters? This fallen woman, and a woman is used as a symbol of a church throughout the Bible, it sits on many waters. Notice now in chapter 17 and verse 15, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Many different people in different nations speaking different languages. This woman sits on them and on that system. Chapter 17, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They're in spiritual fornication, indulging in political and military things the church should never get into. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The whole world, in a sense, is made spiritually drunk. They're mixed up. They're confused. They can't understand. And God has used this system to blind them to the truth. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, a very powerful political church, mixed up in this world's politics and wars, a harlot, and yet very powerful and regal at the same time, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. She is the daughter of the ancient Babylon, just like we found in Isaiah 47, a modern daughter of the ancient Babylon, and she is a mother church. She has harlot daughters. And I saw the woman, verse 6, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. A great persecuting church, God describes here. Notice chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Often the term birds were used for carrion as the symbols to pick up the eat the dead bodies and so forth. Yes, this is a destroying system when you really understand it, and it's a habitation of demons. Demons are guiding and influencing the people and the leadership in this system, a very foul system. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants. Well, it's going to be a very rich system, this final revival, a very rich trading system, a powerful system, politically, economically, and of course militarily. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven. Notice this, my friends. Please listen to what God says. Come out of her, my people. And God is speaking to all those whom he's calling, and certainly he's speaking to modern Israel in the physical sense, the American and British descended peoples. Come out of this system, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Because the plagues of God, this book of Revelation shows, are coming right down on Babylon. That's where they're going to be centered. First you have the great tribulation, and then finally you have the plagues of God himself, which are even worse and going to destroy much of this earth and millions of people. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, God says, and repay her double according to her works. See, this system is the one that's going to punish America and Britain, and they rejoice in it. So God then is going to spank them. God is going to chasten them powerfully in the cup which she's mixed, mixed for her double, in the measure she's glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, now notice, this is an almost exact description of what we read back in Isaiah 47. She says in her heart, this modern Babylon, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. That's what she says. But God says, no, that's not true. Verse 8, therefore her plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The people who will go along with this system, and many of you may do it unless you wake up now, my friends, and listen. Please do listen for your sake, not my sake. Listen to what's going on. Unless you come out of this system, you're going to suffer this kind of thing right along with this modern Babylon and its followers. There may be wealth, there may be power, there may be prestige. Things will be better for you in the short run, but in the long run, you're going to suffer and suffer terribly. This system is matched right up with the description of the Lady of Kingdoms of Isaiah 47, which imposes the punishment upon Israel, God's birthright people, God's inheritance. This will be awesome, and it's going to be a powerful religio-political system which God himself will use to chasten our peoples. Please understand, this system is now slowly coming together in Europe. You need to grasp this and to think and watch world events. The peoples of America, Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand are in mortal peril. Please wake up for your good before it's too late. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of this vital booklet, The Beast of Revelation. This booklet will open your eyes. The Beast of Revelation will give you historical information along with biblical proof as to who this coming beast really is and what is going to happen. So call now and request your free copy of this booklet. Just ask for the booklet about the beast.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. You will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World magazine.
My friends, God will protect you from this coming Holocaust if you truly seek Him and obey Him. Notice God's promise in Malachi 3 and verse 6. Turn there with me. God tells us in this verse, Malachi 3 verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. God does not change His basic principles and ways of dealing with humanity. I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. So He does not plan to totally destroy the sons of Jacob. I am the eternal. I do not change. I've cited to you many times Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where we find Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's basic approach to dealing with humanity remains the same. He does not change His basic principles in that way. So as He dealt with ancient nations and punished them if they disobeyed and blessed them if they obeyed, so He will do today. Notice 2 Chronicles now, chapter 7 and verse 12. Then the Eternal appeared to Solomon after the dedication of the temple and Solomon's heartfelt prayer and by night. And he said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, notice, my friends, the God of heaven has control of the weather. He's in charge of the weather. He's in charge of the rise and fall of nations. He says, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, he's in charge of plagues like that, or send pestilence, disease epidemics among my people. God's in charge. God is the one who will do those things. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, God help you. God seems way off to many of you. I know that. If you begin to truly seek God's face and cry out to God, begin to study this Bible, perhaps even on your knees, and say, God, help me to understand. I want to understand your purpose. God will hear your prayer. Cry out to God and seek my face, he says, and turn from their wicked ways. Turn away from your sins. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Yes, the God of heaven has promised to do just that. Notice back in Deuteronomy now, I'm going to turn at this point to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 25. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make to carve image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Eternal to provoke God to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days, but utterly be destroyed. And the Eternal will scatter you among the peoples, and you'll be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands. We will be taken into slavery, my friends, unless we repent as a nation, which neither see nor hear nor smell. But from there you will seek the Eternal your God, and you will find him. Notice, if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul, if you cry out to God with your whole being and say, Father, forgive us, clean us up and scrub us out, show us your ways and we'll walk in them. When you're in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, we are in the latter days. Let each of us truly turn to the God of the Bible and be willing to do what he says, my friends. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for your free copy of our eye-opening booklet, this powerful booklet, The Beast of Revelation. Call or write now for this booklet, and be sure to make time each week to tune in to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insight available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.